recruiting enthusiasts, I'm Priyanka, and welcome to Tech Recruiting Unfiltered podcast, a podcast for gaining all the insider knowledge about the top recruiters in the tech industry. On this week's episode, we are excited to have Abhishek Bharadwaj with us, who's a talent acquisition leader at IBM, an industry veteran with two decades of expertise in recruiting top talent and driving strategic initiatives that have inspired and led to significant improvements and key changes in the talent acquisition processes. Welcome to the podcast, Abhishek. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Priyanka. Thank you, VCP, for having me here today. And very excited to share my experiences about technology in hiring. And like Priyanka introduced me to our listeners, my name is Abhishek Bharadwaj. I've been working with IBM Consulting as a TA leader for close to a year and a half now, but an overall experience of 18 years or so.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to have you here as well. And I'm really eager to, you know, learn more about your experiences and perspectives on various aspects of the technical hiring. So I'm curious to know, like, how you got started in this industry. And can you tell us a bit about your role at IBM as well? And what do you love about what you do?
Interesting. I think it's been a roller coaster journey. My journey started very, very differently in a very non-conventional field altogether. But an overall experience of 18 years now into the recruiting space, and I've managed multiple global roles in talent acquisition now. I'm very, very enthusiastic of the new trends and technologies, the new tools which are coming up in the market, and how we can leverage those tools to bring efficiency into upstream, downstream, all kind of value chains there. That's been my journey overall. But then I started as a photographer, as a freelance photographer. If you won't mind, I can share that.
Definitely.
Long back in school, it was my school days. And one day, we all brothers were getting ready for the school. A photographer, one of my dad's friend from Bangalore, he visited us. He took one of our photographs. And that photograph was very, very nice. Very, very nice. It got stuck to me. From there, I picked up the passion for photography. I did some small jobs during the summer vacations in my school days itself and bought a camera. And from there, the journey started. I tried my hand. That made me a lot of adventurous. I was a little reckless as well, outgoing. And with maybe a camera in my hand, I was infected with looking beyond the obvious. For a photographer, it is very how it happens that you look for something very, very different that makes sense to you. At the same time, capture moments. I've been a street photographer for a very, very long time. I like meeting people, talking to them, traveling a lot, and that made me travel a lot, apparently, which actually stayed with me for a very, very long time. And I think that stint of mine was life-changing for me, because those few things about travel, meeting people, helped me when I started with IBM. I started my journey with IBM into the BPO space like any other simple graduate. That was how the journey started. But then I moved to recruitment for a reason that I thought that it'll let me meet a lot of people and I would have to travel. So my first stint was with campus. And like you mentioned, in terms of technology, there was very less of technology. Things were very, very mundane and very manual at that point of time. So that was my journey.
Yeah, I think you've had quite an interesting journey as well, you know, switching from photography to TA as well. And I think your photography experience, you've done quite a bit, like you've done commercial, street, fashion, event and still life and all of that. So, but which is your favorite kind of photography?
I still feel street photography is something that is very, very core or very close to my heart. In my view, when you bring smile, and I've done that, I was supposed to, and that's the future plan as well, to start a channel of sort wherein you just click random people and bring smile to their faces. I know I have captured those moments in videos where you pick anyone out of the blue and click them and then share those photographs of them, and it brings a lot of smile to their faces. That is something I really love. I like to be unprepared at times, or rather most times in terms of photography, because it's like instinctive for me. That's how it is. I have done commercial shoots as well. I have done shoots like a pre-wedding shoot or a birthday shoot or a corporate shoot as well. But then to me, what close to my heart is street photography.
Yeah, it's a very beautiful thought. And I can clearly see how passionate you were about photography as well. And so you were a part of IBM from 2004 to 2011. And then I think you joined back recently in 2021. So How has IBM evolved and the tech hiring changed from your time back in 2004 to 2011 to when you recently joined in 2021?
I think it's a complete overhaul. Very, very different. Technology has changed extensively. And I think it's the advent of social media, which has made it a lot more interactive. I remember those days when job bulletins were there, newspapers. When I started off, those were the sources how you used to connect with people. Emails were the main communication method as well. At that point of time, I remember the ATS, for example, many of the ATS, right? Those were used to find passive candidates, database, resumes, and the online job boards. Those were prevalent. Most of those are still there. The channels are still there. But then I remember when I joined in 2004, 2005, IBM, there was a change in IBM as well. IBM Daksh, there was a Daksh entity which was taken over by IBM. That brought a lot of changes. IBM was very, very strong with processes as such. But there were no tools that we were using as such, right, to assess people. It was very, very different. As compared to that now, I think things have changed drastically. The social sites are filled with millions of users and social websites like Facebook, WhatsApp, LinkedIn, Twitter, all of them. There's a sea change in terms of how you can connect with people. And that actually, to reach out to such a large population and the business demand to run on speed and scale at the same time, I think that's where the need for technology comes. You need skill-based assessments, which are there for digital tools. In most cases, whether I have hired now or we hire through campus as well, when you hire volume hiring or whether it's niche hiring, you need a tool to remove the bias as well, right? There was a lot of human touch in terms of technology, non-technology when it was. So I think that has helped. That has changed altogether. And I believe COVID also changed a lot of things. I think a lot of technologies leapfrogged themselves because of COVID. When we saw the need of virtual hiring, we moved completely virtual in 2019-20. From where we were all coming to office. And I think now the change is we are all into hybrid. We have to live with a new normal today. So I think there is a sea change there.
Yeah, awesome. And like you said, you have an avid interest in, you know, new hiring technologies and digital solutions as well. So, you know, correct. I'm curious to know, like, the role of tech in your current hiring process, as well as how has technology helped you in increasing your productivity as well as your teams?
Be it at the sourcing level or the screening level or to engage with people and then onboarding people. I think now technology is touching us everywhere. There were a few things that we did. We did JD standardization. We realized that when you go to this new millennials or the Generation Z to say, they're very smart, right? They know what they need. They are ahead of the employers today. They know that what are their options. So I think as an employer, as an organization, it is very important that we fine tune ourselves to their need. So we have used a lot of tools when it comes to JD standardization, when it comes to screening, whether it's pre-screening or post-screening, a lot of chatbots that we use. So this was in Genpact, I remember that we used to do chatbots and we are working on them in IBM now to pre-screen people at scale. At the same time, tools like HackerRank we use for technology hiring, and we use them because it's very customizable. So we use that as well. Those are the tools that we use today.
Right. And, you know, you have expertise across the recruiting lifecycle, from planning and forecasting to sourcing and selection and to the hiring and onboarding as well. So I want to know from you, like, what are some of the common mistakes you have seen many TA leaders making in this whole process?
I think one very, very important thing that I see is not giving due importance to people. When I look at things, I look at things in three different ways. One is your people, process, and performance. And then you knit that story with how you want to create projects around it. And the key goal is from business outcomes is speed, scale, and quality of hire. I think keeping those in mind when you look at how you can improve things. The biggest mistake that I see is one of the things is you don't share your strategy clearly with the team. Second thing, you don't delegate enough. When I say delegate enough, as leaders, sometimes you get into the crux of things wherein you try to execute more than strategize. I think it's very important to empower your team and let them take those decisions on your part. So you do the strategy bit and then you let them do the other part. In terms of using of technology, I think adaptability is a very, very key word that all leaders need to imbibe if you're not doing that, I think. Because the kind of dynamic environment that wherein we operate in recruitments, one needs to be adaptable to change with the course of time. It's very, very critical. So if, and you keep on challenging the status quo, that's very critical to me. If you don't do that, there is little improvement that you can make, and which also means that you will only do a catch-up job then to your competitors. Everyone is moving, right? So I think adaptability is very, very critical. If they don't do that, accepting change, and then proactively working on change as well. You don't let things and be reactive to what happens to you. It is very important to be proactive and make those changes and see where are the gaps and how you can change those.
Yeah, I think you've shared some really key pointers. Those are really great. And, you know, you have, Abhishek, you've led many talent initiatives as well for leading global organizations. So can you tell us a bit more about these initiatives and how did you go about executing them and what results did you achieve?
Okay, so like I mentioned, I try to keep things very, very simple for me, right? Around people, process and performance, I knit the entire strategy story. But few things that I did were shortening the application process, because you see, to bring efficiency, it is very important, not just from the business side, but from the candidate side as well. So if you want to give a very good candidate experience, it is very important that you try to make things crisper, efficient, at the same time, very, very robust candidate experience. So I remember to shorten the application process and to get high quality candidates, we introduced a 24/7 chatbot back in Genpact. That was in Philippines. That was my stint in Philippines. And knowing the market in Philippines, it is integrated with Facebook. So to say, Facebook Messenger is the highest, I would say, the usability of Messenger is the highest in Philippines across the globe. It is one of the, they are the major users. So what we thought that if we can utilize that to connect with people, because instead of WhatsApp or any other medium, whether it's email, whether it's phone, they are all the time available on Messenger, Facebook Messenger. We looked for a solution. We went to a couple of vendor partners and we saw their products. And then we zeroed on one of the partner, which was TalkPush. And it was a blessing in disguise, I would say. I think at that point of time, COVID happened, right, at that point of time. And still, we in Genpact Philippines, we are getting a lot of demand. And that helped a lot virtually to assess people 24/7 through this chatbot. Once we have pre-screened people, we had less number of people in the team, and they could then shortlist them for the next level. I think that was one of the things that we tried to do to shorten the application process. At the same time, we did your 100% virtual hiring model to screen through video interviewing. These were because most of the demand there was voice-based demand. So we wanted a tool which can help to assess people on voice, right? And which is AI-driven. We did a UAT for a couple of products, and then eventually we zeroed on one of the products there. We also customized our online analytical and behavioral assessment tool to make sure that we don't assess people just on experience, but on quality. And I think this is also one of the things that people miss on in today's world. They try to hire people on experience. The time has changed. You need to assess people and hire people on their cognitive or behavioral skills. Because when you hire them for those skills, you are hiring them for a long run. So people take the short route, which is not recommended. I think the best way, you need to look forward that how this person can move into the organization, not in the role that you're hiring, but, and you're not hiring the person only for the current skills or current role, but for the future role in the organization as well. So those were the few things that we did. Apart from that, to create a huge talent pipeline, I think it's very important that your ATS and CRM talk to each other, right? In most organizations that you will see, they don't talk to each other. Either the CRM is different and then the ATS is different. And the way they don't talk to each other, it doesn't give the right candidate experience as well. I go on that tool and people don't know what is the use of CRM per se. So what we did, we use the CRM to create a great database of candidates across channels. Anyone who's applying to us, the candidature is captured on the CRM, right? And from there, it talks to the ATS, and then it becomes a very, very good recruiting landscape that we look for. That really helped for us to create a pool of candidates. And on top of that, we did a skill mapping for those folks, keeping the external pool and the internal pool in mind. So we did a benchmarking exercise of the internal pool on their skill base and matched it with those external candidates. So what we did, we asked these external candidates to choose a particular skill where they fit the best. This way, for the pool, even if they are interested or not interested, we came to know that what skill they are possessing right now. The third thing that we did is using their network. So like I mentioned, the social network is very important. We use their social networks to disseminate our product. I think one of the things that people miss on is marketing your brand. You market your brand only to hire people. I have a very different view to that. Instead of looking to market to hire, you should just try to brand yourself and let the other people make a choice. If you do that, I think that's the best thing that you can do. So those are the few things that I did. And this is at the core of course, candidate experience. This helped us to minimize our operational cost. We got more revenue. We could retain more people at the same time. That speed, scale, quality goals that I was talking about, we met those as well.
Yeah, I think those are some really amazing initiatives, and you've shared a lot of, you know, do's and don'ts on what, like how to go about things. And I think I found your approach really interesting as well. And so, you know, you were with Genpact for almost 9 years, I think, and you led campus hiring there. So correct. I want to understand like your approach to campus hiring. So what were the main tech stacks you hired for, and how did you go about assessing them as well? Can you like walk me through the entire process, and what are the major hurdles you faced during the process?
Priyanka, our solution stacks comprised of database, like talent network, and then the front end back end tools applications, and we tried to connect them via APIs to have a great brand recall. Those were the key goals for us when we went for campus hiring. So we wanted a recruiting landscape wherein, like I mentioned before, ATS talks to the CRM and then use our career website and the chatbots to integrate with each other. That's a solutioning that we did. We let go of some of our traditional methods of connecting in campus, which were SMS texting, because there was a cost around it as well. We reinvented our chatbot integration as well, and our engagement through email to give way to social media automation and engagement via virtual hiring events and chatbots. So what we did with campus, particularly before even visiting the campus, we made sure that we create a kind of questionnaire or a assessment to the people who are applying there. We took their skills basis their behavior and cognitive skills. We assessed them on that, and post that we shared links of the assessments that we, and those assessments links, the tool assessed them in a very proctored environment. So there is no chance of cheating there as well or skipping the system. And once we got those selects, we visited those campuses to hire people. It helped two ways. There were a lot of times in previous years we have seen that we went to a campus and we had no select, or we had just one or two selects. So spending time, energy of a recruiter to go there, visit there, and then getting very few selects. This way, I think what happened, we were able to hire more people, and our candidate experience also was very, very good in campus hiring.
Yeah, I think, you know, campus hiring, yeah, a lot of challenges are there. And I think you've given us a different approach on how you do campus hiring. And so you have led, I think, recruitment functions for Genpact India as well as Philippines, like you mentioned. Okay. So like how similar or different are the, you know, the tech hiring process and the strategy in Genpact India and Philippines?
I think there is a lot of difference between India and Philippines in terms of culture, government regulations and support. So the government, it'll be interesting for you to know that in Philippines, BPO is the second highest contributor to their GDP. There is a lot of intervention of government in the policies that they create. One of the example was that in the BPO curriculum is introduced at their university level as well. So there is a very great public-private partnership initiative there. India, by just virtue of a huge population, we have, both sides have an advantage on English. But then being Philippines, being a American colony for a very, very long time, there is a lot of American culture there. In terms of accent, it's very, very different in Philippines. So that is one very stark difference between the pool of two countries. That was one thing. The second important thing is in terms of the cost of living and the wages and others, English being well spoken in both countries. But at the same time, there is a lot of impetus and focus in Philippines on BPO hiring. To your question that how technology is used in both places, I think since there is a lot of government intervention and help, they try a lot of tools in technology. They let go of a lot of tools, and maybe I'm not talking about the entire country as such, but then my experience with Genpact and Genpact India and Philippines, the initiatives, whether it's on tools, we introduce them in Philippines before India. it becomes easier for us to implement those as well. Because the clients are mostly the same in both locations or were same in both locations, there was not much difference in terms of how we used to hire people. But at the same time, except the one that I mentioned, that our social recruiting percentage was very, very high in Philippines as compared to India. We were hiring around 25% people from social recruiting in Philippines as compared to India with around, I think, 5% or so. So that was a marked difference. But using tools like I mentioned, the chatbot and those screening tools wherein we assess people on voice, those were very, very prevalent. And I think initially we used in most in Philippines and then in India. That was the difference that I see. And it is probably because of the government regulations. It's easier to try new tools and then use them as well.
Right. And you've been there for like 9 years in Genpact. So how did your learning from Genpact help you in technical hiring in IBM?
I think I was fortunate that I worked in Genpact in different roles at a time when things were very difficult. So COVID happened, and before that as well, my role kept on changing into different. I was the sourcing leader in India initially, and then I moved to different sites as well. I managed Hyderabad for a while, some key accounts and initiatives there, and then I moved to Philippines. So I would say when you look at different perspectives, I had to hire a lot of volume hiring initially in India, and that's where use of technologies was very, very critical for me to implement and use and try. We made a lot of change to the initiatives, to how we used to hire people. Like I mentioned, adaptability, I think that came to the fore. We challenged a lot of status quo, how the processes were in terms of how we engage with candidates, how we even internally work with our employees as well. So there was a lot of focus on employee centricity as well, to see that what are their skills, how they want to do things, what are the best things. We did a project particularly on employee or employee satisfaction as well. We tried to understand that what are their career goals. And one of the things that I mentioned, we did an initiative on talent match, which means the internal population. We tried to check their skills, what are their key skills, and then try to map them with the available opportunities. This was another way of increasing our dependence on proactively increasing our dependence on internal pool as well. So whenever there were new transitions, what we did initially, only 5 to 10% of those used to be filled internally through internal seeding. But by doing this exercise of internal mapping, you were able to increase that to 20-25% through internal seeding. It helps a client as well. A new client comes and the client knows that the person already knows the organization. They are people who have been experienced. It gives them a lot of confidence when they start a new business with you. So that was the difference that I see.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, you have successfully led large cross-functional initiatives as well as transformation efforts to create more effective deliver, you know, services, including diversity and inclusion. So can you tell us a bit about the initiative you took around diversity and inclusion, and how did you go about executing them as well?
See, how I take this, Priyanka, is I use a spoke and hub model wherein your talent is at the central stage, and then you have different other teams to support it, whether it's an automation hub or your cross-functional recruitment teams to help you, your employee development, at the same time your external side, which is your RPO partnerships or your vendor partnerships. Keeping all that in mind, I'll talk a bit about automation hub. There was a project that we did, which was a digital COE for us. We replaced those administrative and repetitive tasks by using these different automations and tools. And this eliminates your middle layer altogether. So that was one thing that we did. At the same time, we did a lot of cross-functional recruitment teams. So example, our talent advisors, they focused on low volume, hard to fill positions. And like I mentioned, the internal mobility that we worked on, those were the few things that we did. We ran a lot of virtual marketing campaigns as well. In cross-functional teams, we composed a multi-skilled employee base, which can cater to not just one side, but other demographies as well. This helped me to develop a global talent base as well. So, for example, the people who were working in Philippines, they could help EMEA hiring as well, or any other hiring or sourcing efforts as well, just to understand. So those are the few key things that we did. And like I mentioned about employee development as well, we formed partnerships with external providers as well to make sure we develop our internal apprentice program as well. So there was in conjunction with the government, back in Genpact India, we did an apprentice program through them, and we hired a lot of freshers through apprentice. It helped us in the CSR activities as well. So those are the few key initiatives that I took as a leader.
Awesome. And you've greatly put it, and I really like the initiatives as well. And so before we wrap up our conversation, Abhishek, I wanted to ask, so your experience in the industry goes back to nearly 2 decades. So can you tell us a bit about how the industry has changed over time, you know, from back then when you started out in Fast Track to today, and any tips or advice you'd like to share with the budding recruiters out there?
See, there are a lot of learnings, I would say. Now there's a lot more competition for the top talent. These employing new candidates from all around the world, that's the norm, right? So that demography thing has already gone out. Then you want to use new technology in recruiting. Your smartphones are more dominant in recruiting process, which means you need to be mobile savvy with your tools that you will use. That's very important. And your movement towards AI and robotics is evolutionary. I read somewhere that someone wrote that the technology may be ready, but we are not, and at least not yet. Which means there is a lot of technology which is there, but we are not prepared to use it as well. My biggest lesson that I have learned over the past 10, 20 years, that you still need to be adaptable. A closed mind will impact your actions and enable others to surpass you. So it's very important to stay agile, fluid, and don't be afraid to try something new. And that's what I try to imbibe in all my managers as well, that, hey, you know, take risk. Even if you fail sometimes, it's absolutely fine. Whether that's experimenting with a different assessment tool to screen candidates or testing a alternative way of communicating, engaging, it's worth a try. So I've approached this, taken this approach, and it has worked for me so far.
Yeah, that's really great. And, you know, you've shared some really great tips as well. I really like them when you're saying, you know, take risks, and yeah, you have to adapt with the technology because it's evolving at a really fast pace. And
correct.
That brings us to the end of our conversation. I had a wonderful time speaking with you, Abhishek, and I love the insights and the tips you've shared with us today. So thanks again for joining Tech Recruiting Unfiltered podcast.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure here. Thank you for having me here. Thanks, Priyanka. And I think it's a non-ending journey. It's for all of us to look forward and look for new tools and opportunities, how we can bring more efficiencies into the system. But it was a great session. I enjoyed it as well and looking forward. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Tech Recruiting Unfiltered podcast. We hope you enjoyed as well as learned from it. To gain more such insights, join us for our next episode. You can follow us on LinkedIn at Technical Hiring Showcase page and our website technical-hiring.com to receive all the updates. That's all for this episode, folks. See you next time.